You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
Let's begin by praying together the Lord's Prayer as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So it's Christmas time. There's children in bathrobes, and paper wings, and animal costumes that all come to remind us of the reason that we celebrate. This little baby that's swaddled in a blanket and laid in a manger. Now, most of us, my guess would be we love babies, right? Everybody seems to love babies. You see a little baby, it's just a little tiny bundle of joy, and then everybody kind of together says, aw, that's so sweet. Therefore, we have this little baby at Christmas, lying in a manger. It's so sweet. He's so sweet. He's so completely innocent, so vulnerable, and so seemingly harmless. This little baby. But the question is, who is this baby, this Jesus that lies in the manger? The Lord's Prayer that we've been studying over the past few weeks ends with a doxology. It ends with a hymn of praise to the God that we've been addressing as we've been praying. It could have easily, just as easily have been a hymn of praise to the baby in the manger. It could just very well describe the awesome significance of the little child, Jesus, this little bundle of joy sent from God to earth. Because we close the Lord's Prayer with this hymn saying, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Not exactly an awe, but it could have been the words that the angels spoke to the shepherds to announce his birth. It could have been very well the words that the shepherds spoke when they found the baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. It could have been our response every time that Jesus Christ is born again in each one of us. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. But to get a better look at this, connection between Christmas, this celebration, and this hymn of praise that ends the Lord's Prayer, I want us to turn back and look at this vision from Isaiah that we looked at just a few moments ago in Sunday school. It's a picture from Isaiah 9, and I'll read it once again. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The passage is filled with all of this battlefield imagery, right? This battle imagery. It begins there with the people who walked in darkness have seen great light. You have to forgive me. My brain immediately goes to Lord of the Rings, The Two Towers, right? the end of the movie, right? You know, they're all holed up in Helm's Deep, and the army's coming on, and it's just this day of darkness, and they found that they can use explosives on the weak part in the wall, and hope is lost until, like, Gandalf rides over the top of the hill, and he has this bright light shining out of his staff, right? And everybody's like, what in the world? And then, of course, he comes behind him, and all of the riders of Rohan come down, and they win the army. But it's that moment that I see in this, that there's this period of darkness when it seems like darkness is about to completely overcome you, when darkness seems to completely overcome the people of God, but then there's a light. And you look up and you realize behind the light, there's a whole army of God's hosts that are there, that are just waiting. That are waiting and that are coming to our aid. That's what I picture anyhow. But this is the picture in Isaiah. He says there's this time of great darkness, that defeat seems sure, that there's no hope. And yet in the midst of this time of no hope, a light shines out to announce that the tides are turning, that help has arrived, that victory is sure. That the yoke is broken in two, that the staff will be shattered, that the rod of oppression will be no more, that they will be purified by fire, along with every boot and every garment that will fuel that fire. So passage, it says that the rightful king will then sit on the throne. The rightful king will sit on the throne to rule and to judge with equality, to bring peace. And he will fulfill the promise that God made to King David when God told him this. Says, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. It's the fulfillment of this promise that this child comes. In other words, this child is the rightful king. In the years after his birth, wise men would come to seek out the king of the Jews. Herod would begin to feel so threatened that he slaughters all of the innocent children 2 years and under. Because of this king that has been born, that will sit on David's throne, yes, he is a baby, but he's a king. And a king over more than just the people Israel, because Scripture says that he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that his kingdom has no boundaries because it covers everything and all of creation. So therefore we pray, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the kingdom. But he's the rightful king because he's the creator of all things. In the first chapter of Genesis, there's this picture of God, that God is so powerful that all God has to do is speak and things come into creation. Right? It says, let there be light, and there's light. Let there be darkness, and there's darkness. Let there be land. Let there be water. Let there be vegetation. And there was. That God is powerful, so powerful that all he has to do is speak the word. Now, in the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John is kind of the New Testament's version of creation. And John says that he echoes that Genesis account with this. It says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, there was nothing. There was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Did you catch that? It says, all things were created through him, through the Word, who is Jesus Christ. John wants us to see that the same power that resided in God at creation is the same power that we see in this baby Jesus, this baby who is dependent on his mother for food, this baby who is dependent on his parents to burp him and to change his diapers. That this baby has the power to create the whole world. Not only that, but he has the power to bring peace. Isaiah says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. There will be no end. He will establish it through the power that he possesses. So therefore we pray, thine is the kingdom and the power. And the power. Now when a baby's born, one of the first things that we want to know is, first of all, was it a boy or a girl, if we didn't know before? Then we want to know, well, what'd you name it? What's the baby's name? And then we say, well, how big was he? Or how big was she? How much did she weigh? How long was he? When we talk about God's glory, we often think of God's glory in terms of, you know, blinding light, or God's majestic beauty, or a halo or a crown, or something along those lines. But that's not the biblical picture of glory. Instead, it has to do with weight. Weight, as in W-E-I-G-H-T. How heavy it is. The Hebrew word is kavod. Everybody, let's say that together. Kavod. All right. Very good. We're going to have you guys Hebrew scholars before we're done. In Hebrew, the word kavod literally means something that's weighty, something that has substance, something that's not easily moved. Kind of contrast that with, you think about, you know, something that's very light, and when the wind blows, it just moves wherever the wind blows, and it, you know, is shifted around easily. No. Something with glory, with kavod, is something that's heavy and substantial and significant. So we pray, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. This child shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It doesn't get much more weighty than that, folks. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I would argue that Jesus is the most significant, the most weighty, the most glorious event in all of history. The glory of the earth's kings come and go. Riches are passed down from the king to their children, or they're seized by a more powerful king. Moth and rust come and destroy all of the glorious clothes that a kingdom and the glory that a king might have. Weeds will take over the land. Buildings will crumble and fall. Every major empire in the history of the world has collapsed in time. Their glory fades. It withers away. But Jesus Christ is still as powerful, still as significant, still as meaningful, and still as glorious today as the day he was born. Thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. So for us to learn to pray, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever, it's saying, you are first, I am second. You are the king, I am your servant. You are powerful, especially in my weakness. You are glorious, I am but dust. But it's to say more than that, because unto us a child is born. It is an invitation. An invitation to us all. So I want you to take a moment, watch this video. It's only a couple minutes long.
Two thousand years ago, in a quiet village, on a solitary night, a single birth happened that changed the course of history. Our history. Your history. For a child was born. Unto us. To us, the sinful, the irreligious, the unholy, a child is born. Unto us, the broken, the empty, the wounded, the disregarded, the liar, the thief, and the cheater, a child is born. To us, the sex addict, the drug user, the alcoholic, the people pleaser, the world lover, the racist, a child is born. Unto us, the drug dealer, the crackhead, the porn addict, the child molester, the wife beater, a child is born. To us, the drag queen, the gender confused, and the homosexual. To the American dreamer, the fundamentalist, and the religious. Unto us, the God hater, the God mocker, the churchgoer, the truth seeker, the law abider, and the celebrity chaser. To us, the terrorist, the murderer, the rapist, the money lover, the materialist, and the greedy. To us, the glutton, the lazy, the prideful, a child is born. To us, the worrier, the fearful, the cowardly, the adulterer, and the embezzler. Unto us, the unwed mother, the fatherless, the motherless, the depressed, the poor, and the wealthy. To us, the jealous, the unforgiving, the gossiper, the godless, the control freak, and the idol worshiper. Unto us, the prostitute and the preacher, the judgmental and the heretic, the Sunday school teacher and the CEO. To us, the young, the old, those that were and those that will come from generation to generation. Unto us, for all mankind, a child is born. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquity. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his stripes we are healed. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
An invitation, right? Seems so simple just to say, unto us a child is born, but it's an invitation. It reminds us that there are those that we hold outside of our understanding of who fits in and who's welcome. There are those that are outsiders, that are on the margin, for various reasons. And it reminds us that this Christ, this child, was born for us all, to save us all, to redeem us all. Scripture says that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered with his disciples around the table. It says he took bread and he broke it, gave thanks and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." It says that after the meal, Jesus took the cup. And he said, "This cup is the new covenant which is poured out in my blood. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim my death until I return." So as we gather here this morning, as we remember this baby which was given to us, which was born and placed in a manger, we remember the invitation unto each of us. A child is born. A son is given. That he is our salvation. He is our hope. To him be the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Let's pray. Our God, we are so thankful for the reminder of Christmas, the reminder of your love, the reminder of your Son, Jesus Christ, the gift of your heart to us, that through him you revealed to us your great love, your tender mercy, your abundant grace. As we gather around this table, may this bread and this cup be a reminder of Jesus' blood, his body broken, his blood shed. May it be a reminder of the forgiveness that we have in him. May it be a reminder of the grace that he alone offers. Take them and bless them now, that it might draw us closer to you, that it might draw us closer to the little manger, the little baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray in his name. Amen.